I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Before we commence with the celebration of the game here, I wanted to address what happened last night on Hockey Night in Canada. Don Cherry made remarks which were hurtful, discriminatory, which were flat out wrong. We at Sportsnet have apologized. It certainly doesn't stand for what Sportsnet or Rogers represents. We know diversity is the strength of the country. We see it in the travels with our show and with Hockey Night in Canada. So I owe you an apology too. That's the big thing that I want to emphasize. I sat there, did not catch it, did not respond.
Wow, somebody's trying to preserve their job in the middle of the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's Ron McLean, longtime partner who is pretty much nothing without Don Cherry, I would say. He's just the straight man. I shouldn't say nothing, but I mean, Don Cherry carried that, obviously.
Yeah.
Who needs a partner like that? My God.
He's like me without Wiggy. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know about that. I don't know about that, Greg. Yeah, I think you do pretty good. You've been doing it for 28 years.
28 what? Years, Wiggy. That's right.
28?
I think so.
Yeah, going on 29. Going on 29. 617-779-7937 is the number to call if you would like to be on, or if you would prefer to text, you can text on the text line, which is 37937. We're going to get a rare content replay on Tom Brady on this show yesterday, since many of you had a holiday and since the entire city of Philadelphia is apparently calling Tom Brady a crybaby for the way in which he spoke about a Super Bowl loss. Mm-hmm. and the fact
that... Well, it's Philadelphia, Greg. Have you been there?
I have been.
It's a dump.
It's a great city, actually. Yeah, like, okay.
Their biggest icon is a fictional character named Rocky Balboa.
So that tells
you how much that's a great city.
Have you ever run up the stairs to the Rocky statue? I have. I went on a jog over in that area and ran up and then walked down afterwards.
Put up a Clever Lang's statue.
Is taking the picture WPS?
Yes.
Take the picture at the top of the stairs.
It's like it's Rocky Balboa. Yeah. I mean, it's not even real. It's not like you're taking a picture next to a Muhammad Ali statue. I could see like, oh, okay.
So this guy who's on television sports down there retweeted Tom Brady's comments from yesterday, and about 75% of the people who responded were calling Tom Brady a crybaby, and the other 25% were in a complete terror over how good Tom Brady's going to be on Sunday afternoon and how badly they're going to get beat because they feel like he's really fired up. This is Charlie from the Cape. Hey, Charlie, what's going on?
Hey, I'm on my way to work, having a great morning.
Awesome.
And listening to an interesting conversation on the radio.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that, Charlie. You must be listening to, what station are you listening to?
Your station, I think.
what's up? What's going on?
Well, listening to somebody said something to the effect of, you have to not just think about what you're saying, but how you say it.
Right.
And it reminded me of a story in the Bible where St. Paul visits the Greeks, and he's in Athens, and he's looking around. He's about to tell them all that their gods are fake and that they should believe in Jesus. And he does it in a really respectful way by telling them what their strengths are and how much he admires them, and then saying, hey, but I have something else for you. You know, let's consider this. And he spends weeks debating with them and discussing with them rather than, you know, just – you know, yelling at them and then leaving.
Right.
It really is a lot about how you say it and not what you're saying.
Well, when you heard did you hear us play the audio from Don Cherry, the original?
No, I got in the car after that.
All right. I'm going to play. Stand by. I'll play it for you one more time. This is what he said that got him fired.
Now you go to the small cities, and you know those the roads on roads. You people love you that come here, whatever it is. You love our way of life. You love our milk and honey. At least you could pay a couple of bucks for poppies or something like that. These guys pay for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. These guys paid the biggest price. Anyhow, I'm going to run it again for you, great people.
Yeah. So is it the way he said it, or is it what he said, Charlie?
I think it's the way he said it.
The way he said it.
I think it's
the way,
I think it kind of leans toward maybe immigrants, but not necessarily.
No,
you know, it might just be an inarticulate way of saying it.
You people, you come here. You kind of, mm-hmm. you know, that's kind of what he.
Yeah,
yeah. But is it wrong for a guy to say, if you're going to be somebody who is immigrating to a country, you ought to assimilate when it comes to the traditions of that country? They have a tradition on their Remembrance Day where everybody wears a poppy, a flower in remembrance of those who gave their lives fighting for the country. Like, I don't understand what's wrong with saying that anybody who comes there ought to participate in that tradition, in his opinion.
It's not wrong.
It's just the man's
but
opinion.
But it is how you say it,
you gotta
though, right?
Say it. You gotta say it the right way.
It's how you say it, because people are going to be like, oh, wait a second, what do you mean, you people? Why are you saying it like that?
This is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love your show.
Thank you, Mike.
I got a Wiggins correction.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I do love you, Wiggy. But Rocky Balboa was a true story. The guy's name was Chuck Wepner.
Yes.
He, the champion, he gave No Name a chance, and he beat him. That's the Rocky story.
And he felt he was pissed at Stallone because he felt like Stallone stole his story. It's kind of an interesting thing between those two, but that is absolutely correct.
So then the Rocky character is based off of
that guy. True story.
So why not say that then?
Well,
why wouldn't Stallone say that?
Well, what you should be saying
is like Raging Bull, right? Raging Bull, we know, was based off of a real person.
Great movie.
You know?
Great movie, Raging Bull. Mm-hmm. You're saying they ought to have a Chuck statue, not a Rocky
statue.
Yeah,
he shouldn't have been Rocky Balboa. Right. He should have been Chuck, whatever his name was.
Well, I mean, if you're saying the only thing that Philadelphia has is
they got Will Smith, Rocky, too, so they gave us the Fresh Prince.
Is the Rocky statue.
No, that's about it.
What else? Disgusting cheese whiz.
They have cheesesteaks.
Cheese steaks are the worst.
Philly pretzels. You ever had those pretzels on the sidewalk in Philly? Awesome.
Yes, I have. Those are very, very good.
Like, people go crazy over a cheesesteak.
What's
a steak
with,
and cheese where you put cheese whiz on it?
Why do you have a problem with cheesesteak?
That's disgusting. 100%
right. Nasty.
That's not a real steak and cheese.
Well, it's not. It's a cheesesteak.
It's a cheesesteak.
It's a very different thing.
It's their thing. You got to go to, there's only two places to get them.
Pat's and Gino's.
Yeah. And so
they both suck.
People down there.
Right.
They don't suck.
Cheese whiz on a steak and cheese.
Awful.
All right. In about 5-6 minutes, rare content replay on Tom Brady's interview on this show. And then the caller from the Cape referenced the Bible coming up during the news. Apparently, if you want to know whether your kid is going to be successful in life,
mm-hmm.
it's all about the nativity play.
Oh.
Yeah. So with the Christmas right around the corner.
Yes. Oh, you said the C word.
Many will be participating in a nativity play. And apparently whether your child is going to be successful in life or a loser is all based on the nativity play. So we'll get to that coming up during the news.
The only station in Boston where you'll hear exclusive interviews with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. There will always be a vacation, a holiday, or a celebration. Put Awaken 180 to the test this holiday season. Lose weight while others are packing it on. Great game last night in the NFL. Monday Night Football. Seahawks 27, 49ers 24 in overtime. At the buzzer in overtime. Jason Myers 42-yarder to win it. Back and forth. Turnovers. Jimmy G struggled. Josh Gordon made an appearance. Had a couple of big catches.
Hey, looked pretty good.
I'm Wiggy, are you leaning toward right now Russell Wilson being the MVP?
Yeah, I think when you look at his play and just the way he's playing, he's got like 23 or 24 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. It's pretty ridiculous.
I know you refuse to give Lamar Jackson any credit whatsoever.
Well, they beat Seattle. Come on, Baltimore winning. That was a huge win for the Ravens.
I understand they beat them, but they beat them the same way they beat New England. Both teams beat themselves.
Yeah,
smoke and mirrors, right? You don't believe in the
DK Metcalf catches a ball and just drops it. No one touches him. So, I mean, yeah, it's one of those. It's like the Edelman thing. Edelman hasn't lost a fumble in 3 years, and he just happened to lose one against Baltimore.
A couple of big injuries potentially in that game. Kemba Walker. Emmanuel Sanders left with a rib injury in the first quarter, and Tyler Lockett bruised leg, which is could be serious.
Shows Bill Belichick's genius again. Everybody was like, go get Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, he was good until he got hurt.
Well, but
he's injury prone.
Well, that's what Bill, he's always dealt with injuries. So.
Wiggy, as a honk, he believes that Bill is able to foresee injuries coming in the future.
That's exactly what he did.
Our future.
He knew his injury.
Well, Sanu is pliable.
Well, Sanu is
a new talent. We've never heard about this about Bill Belichick before, but he's able to foresee injuries that may occur in the future.
I think Sanu has missed one game in like the last 4 or 5 years where Emmanuel Sanders has dealt with injuries. Bill is. That's why he's a genius.
Wiggy is a hockey genius, of course. He predicted that Char would be off the pairing with McAvoy. That happened. And your guy, Coyle's up on the second line right wing tonight.
You.
So how about that?
Dale threw it back in my face. Well, he tried to like couch it a little bit where they made the move to move Chara down, but it didn't really work out with Grizzlick and McAvoy, so they brought him back up. Well, you can't give them just one game. You got to let them get a little bit of a rhythm.
He'll be in there tonight. No Torrey Krug and no DeBrusk. No Richie. Bruins host the Panthers 7 o'clock. Celtics beat the Mavs last night 116-106. Big night from Kemba Walker. Three big threes. Right around the 5-minute mark as the Celtics made their run. Here's a little Kemba post-game.
I don't know. Just really just trying to be aggressive. Trying to make the right plays. I thought I made the right plays on all those shots that I took tonight. No, I missed a lot early. But, no, my shot felt... It felt good all night. You know,
he's a star in the NBA circles. He's making star money. Are people buying in yet to Kemba?
I don't know. Kyrie's third in the league in scoring, so.
Celtics have the best record in the NBA.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think people buy into the Celtics until another couple of months, but this is a really good Celtics team. I'm telling you. I told you from the beginning. They're going to go far. I really think they are. Now, Hayward had his surgery yesterday.
Yes.
Is it 6 weeks?
6 weeks per the team, obviously on the non-shooting hand, so that's big. But they did successful surgery to repair the fracture. Enes Kanter came back, got 6 minutes. Seas host the Wizards tomorrow. Patriots had the first practice yesterday. They'll be off today. The GM meetings keep going in Arizona. Big stuff happening out there. Hillman. Chief Baseball Officer Chaim Bloom is talking to the media. And he's getting his plan together. The foundation is being laid for the Mookie Betts strategy. That's going to be the big thing.
Just trade him. What's the strategy of Mookie Betts?
Well, you want to talk. You want to talk money. Consider all the options. Where do you trade him?
10 years, $350 million. If he turns it down, then you say, okay, we got to trade him for as much as we can get.
The biggest news in Scottsdale, Arizona. High of 81 degrees and sunny today.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, that is probably the biggest thing coming out of it.
Yeah, what's the latest on the weather on Snowmageddon here, Hillman?
Well, we're going to get... Apparently, we're going to get like an inch of snow.
Mm-hmm.
Total and utter whiteout conditions this afternoon or this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to like be colder than it's ever been on this date. It's going to be 14 degrees tonight and overnight. So
I'm going to wrangle up my squirrels.
You got to deal with the freezing rain and get your tomato plants in or whatever it is.
And the weather brought to you by the Exogen Temporal Scanner. 30 million people come down with the flu every year. Could be you or your family. Best way to tell if it's the cold or the flu. Take your temperature. Nothing does it better than the Exogen Temporal Scanner. This is the Greg Hill Show.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. To the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Hey, Tom Brady.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Excited to get back to the stadium today and get to work on the Eagles. So good weekend with the family and got a lot of good family time. And now it's time to get it back going and get ready for the second half of the year.
Are you like the rest of us after 4 days off where it's tough to get out of bed in the morning, or do you jump right up and get going?
I feel pretty good. I feel good. Yeah, I didn't feel like that at all. I felt kind of ready to go and excited for the week.
Did you watch any football yesterday?
I saw a little bit. I watched, it was kind of on in the background. So just got, saw the ends of the couple of the games, the 1 o'clock games, which were all pretty good games. So that I've always said that Red Zone channel that jumps back and forth between games is pretty pretty unique. So I was watching that, which was pretty fun.
Well, you faced the Eagles on Sunday for the first time since Super Bowl 52. I wanted to ask how long it took you to get over that loss. How long does it take you to get over a loss like that?
You assume I'm over it.
Yeah. This is Tom Brady. You think
never,
he forgets this?
Never, never going to be
on
over
now.
It.
That's a lot of mental scar tissue from that year. So that was a... that was a tough game, but no, that they, in a lot of ways, I think we, you know, we learned from that year and we came back stronger the next year and we won the Super Bowl in 18. So I think everything is a matter of perspective. And I think when you play in that game and you play great teams, you're not going to win them all. This is not, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals. This is all about, you know, tough competition against the best teams, and they deserved it that year. And, you know, now, couple years later, we get a chance to play the organization again. We've had a lot of changes. They've had a lot of changes. You know, it's totally different circumstances. A huge game for us, big game for them. And, you know, the best team's going to win. So we got to hopefully everyone got a chance to, you know, decompress a little bit mentally, physically. And now, you know, we got to get ready for a great week of preparation and then get ready to go in there and try to play our best game of the season on the road in a really tough environment. And it should be a great, you know, great Sunday afternoon for football.
I was going to say, would you say that's the most hostile road environment in the NFL?
They're definitely, you know, got great loud fans. So yeah. It's a tough place to play. They got great, you know, support by their fans and so forth. We played, you know, there's a lot of those. Baltimore, that they were loud. Buffalo's loud. No, there's a lot of loud places. It gets to a point where you basically can't hear, and I think most road stadiums are like that. Certainly, Philly's one of them. So just communication will be, you know, nonverbal communication will be very important. We'll have to work on that this week.
Tom, last week, Julian said during his interview here on the show that he actually loves dynamic environments where there are really loud fans that speak out against you guys, and that he kind of like, it gets him more excited for the game. Now, obviously, when we say love, Philadelphia, nobody shows love like the Philly fans do. Do you got to get a little extra juice out of that when you know that they took all that effort just to say all those nice things about you and your teammates?
They're fans. They get the, you know, they get their fans, so they get the right to pretty much say whatever they want. So it's all good. I mean, the energy is important. I think it's always fun when you go into a game and you feel the collective energy of the crowd. You know, I think sometimes you can feel the opposite of that, where it's a little, you know, there's just not a lot of energy in the stadium, not a lot of people there. But this will be one of those games where this will be should be a great game, great competition, and I know our guys are going to be ready to go and be prepared for really good football team on both sides of the ball. So it's a big challenge, and we'll be ready to embrace it.
Now that you've had the actual week here, do you feel like the bye came at the right time with regard to that loss and kind of putting that behind you guys?
I feel like the bye always comes at a good time. I mean, it's a long year. It's a long stretch of football. And hard to believe it's already basically mid-November. It feels like we just started training camp. So I think the important part is we've gone through, you know, basically half the season and we've learned a lot about ourselves. And, you know, now we got to take advantage of, you know, what we've learned and try to use it to our best going forward. So that's one advantage of playing nine games is I think things kind of show themselves. And now we got to really take advantage of what we learned to put our best forward as we go into really a really tough stretch.
Tom, we have decided that this week's Needham Bank, your bank, your way, player of the game. Since you guys didn't actually play, we can't choose somebody from the team, so we've gone with another former Patriot. It's your pal Mike Vrabel, coach of the Tennessee Titans, who staged the improbable comeback and beat Mahomes and the jump passers yesterday, 35-32 in Tennessee. I know you said you only were able to catch a few minutes on Red Zone and at the end of the game, but that was a hell of an effort by the Titans and Ryan Tannehill yesterday.
Know that he won this award? Should we? How's he going to get? How do we let him know that this is? I mean, this is pretty prestigious. This weekly award. So,
did you get a tiny trophy for him?
You can get it. You can send him. You can send him another tiny trophy.
We get it added to his collection. That's right. He's
That was pretty sweet. I did watch the game. It was a crazy 2 minutes of football. You know, anytime you're down nine, you come back and win, you feel like you pretty much, those are the ones you don't expect to win. So that was a great game. There was a lot of good ones. I mean, the Cleveland-Buffalo game was great. The Tampa Bay-Arizona game was great. So there was a lot of good football games on yesterday. It's fun to watch. Fun to be a spectator.
This is at the top of the subjects that have been beaten to death list, but I'm going to ask it anyway. The NFL Network is reporting that Bob Kraft spoke to Gronk in March when he retired and told him that the team would welcome him back for the stretch run. Did you have any kind of similar conversation with Gronk at that time?
No, I'm really good friends with Gronk. We've had a great relationship for 10 years, so... You know, just because things are reported doesn't necessarily mean they're always true, just for the record. So.
Really?
What? Stop.
I know. Imagine that.
Tom.
Wait, so fake news is real?
I'm just saying. Well, you tell me. I don't know. It's just, and it's all a lot of speculation. So I don't know. This is a, you know, those are conversations I'm not privy to. But
yeah,
it really doesn't matter. This is, our team is what it is. I think our, you know, there's no more, you know, the trade deadline's gone, training camp's passed, free agency's gone, the draft is gone. I mean, our team is what it is, and I'm excited about who we have and the opportunity that we have. I mean, I said last week to be 8-1 and have the opportunity in the second half of the year that we do, I think anyone would take that. So it hasn't all been perfect, but, you know, it's been good enough in some areas, and we're going to have to, you know, really ramp it up and play our best as we go forward. So hopefully it'll be a great second half of the season, but it's really up to us to earn it. The people that are in the locker room and got to show up to work every day with a great sense of, you know, determination, commitment to doing our best for each other, for the team, and try to go, you know, get a win. And it starts this week in Philly.
Tom, do you ever feel like you lose any momentum during the bye?
No, like I said, because it really comes at a great time for all of us. I think everybody looks forward to taking a deep breath to really, you know, exhale for once and then to study yourself, study what you need to do, and then be at a better place going forward. So I don't care if it's the fifth week of the year, the 11th week of the year. I mean, you can always use that time. And, you know, I'm sure all our guys used it wisely. And, you know, it'll be fun to get back in there today and see everybody and, you know, get ready to get back to work.
Tom, unfortunately, the last two times you've played the Eagles, it hasn't ended very well for the Patriots. Of course, Super Bowl 52 and back to 2015 in that game at Foxborough. But there's also some other symmetry between those two games, which leads me to ask this question. Is there any chance that you could promise us that you please will not go out for a pass against the Eagles this Sunday?
I know. The first one I caught, that was a career high right there. And I actually felt like I was running pretty good. I think I was clocked at a good speed after I caught it. So
I think you hit double digits.
I think I was higher than that. Okay. That was like one of the faster times. So I certainly remember that. And then, yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, when I ran out for a pass against the Tennessee Titans last year, I actually got hurt on the play, but I'm not sure if it would be in the game plan this week. That'll be a, we'll see. We'll see what the game plan, how it shakes out.
Well, in the 2015, which was sort of like a pre-Philly special kind of play, I always thought they sort of stole that from you. Dola hit you with a dime on the run. It was a great throw. Yeah, speaking of which,
great throw.
Best throws by non-Patriots quarterback in the Tom Brady era. Do you think it was Edelman to Dola or Dola to you?
Oh, man. Edelman to Dola was, I mean, that was the throw right there. That was, I don't think you'd put a better ball. That was perfect. That was back to his College of San Mateo days right there. So, and, you know, he's had a few other good ones. He had another good one this year. We had a little double pass that we tried, I think, against Pittsburgh, which was pretty good. So, I don't know. Jules got a great arm. You know, there's some good passers on our team. We got a lot of ex-quarterbacks.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that I feel like defenses now have to prepare for the Myers to Sanu to Brady to Edelman quadruple option.
I know. You've been studying up on this. That's pretty good. They all got good arms. These guys can throw the ball. So, I don't know. You never know what we got up our sleeve. I'm sure we have to kind of go into our bag of trick plays and see what we come up with.
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm going to the parking lots to do videos for the radio station Sunday. I will gladly take all the slings and arrows and names that people will call me for being a fan of yours and the Patriots. But you guys run the Philly special Sunday, Tom, I will do anything for you the rest of my life.
That's great. I know. That was a tough play to stop, man. That was they executed it well. I think trick plays, when they run as well as they did, and they always seem to work. So, and they give you a lot of momentum. But yeah, they're still talking about that play. That game will go down in history, just like a lot of those big plays in the Super Bowl have. So good for them.
I think the over-under on Philly special signs on Sunday afternoon is going to be 8,000. They'll be not only will they have signs, they'll be screaming it at you. But that's all right.
Yeah,
you like that.
That's all right.
You like that.
Yeah, it's all right. Can't win them all, man. You can't win them all.
So you guys, do you guys take tomorrow off, or do you guys end up kind of altering the week a little bit this week, coming back from the bye?
There's a little, we're practice today, and then we have tomorrow for, basically a lot of film and rehab recovery. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is a normal week. So basically, a lot of football, which is kind of what I like. So I'm ready for it.
All right. Well, we're ready for it, too. So.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us this morning, and we'll talk to you on Monday or Tuesday next week.
All right. Sounds good. Have a great day.
Good luck, Tom.
Bye.
Take care. There he is.
Bye-bye.
Tom Brady. And Tom Brady, the quarterback question of the week with Tom Brady was brought to you by Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing in the sexual health of men. Tom Brady is brought to you by Northeast Electrical Distributors, powering New England businesses with electrical products, services, and solutions, by your New England Honda dealer, driven by the award-winning 2019 Honda CR-V. Tom Brady also brought to you by Mass General Cancer Center, every day amazing, and by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in the sexual health of men.
The Greg Hill Show on Boston Sports Station, WEEI. It's time for...
Good morning.
The news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
There's more good news today.
On Sports Radio, WEEI.
Whether your issue is low T or ED, they will fix it at the Northeast Men's Clinic. You can learn more when you go to northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000.
Maybe Dan Aykroyd was right about extraterrestrial life when he was on with us on Friday.
Really?
Have you seen all the videos that have surfaced on the interwebs from the home doorbell cameras in St. Louis that capture the bright light and the loud boom?
No.
It's the aliens.
Oh.
They're coming.
Well,
they're here.
When did this happen?
Happened over the Monday evening.
Yeah.
And large fireball was spotted over St. Louis, Missouri. Huh. A lot of people think it was a meteor.
Oh.
That's what it appears to be.
Yeah.
But people were posting videos from their Ring doorbells all over the place saying, what the hell was this? I was woken by this very loud sonic boom sounding thing.
Wiggy, where do you stand on...
I don't believe in it.
You don't believe in it?
No, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in
it. Wiggy doesn't believe in aliens.
I don't believe in it. We have these... iPhone has this phone with this new camera that's out. I mean, everybody has a cell phone. I could see somebody get stabbed at Popeyes, but I can't never get any footage.
You sell a Dalian t-shirt.
Every footage. I can't get any footage of an alien on cell phone.
Well, they're going to be advanced cultures, Wiggy. You're not going to be able to pick them up on cell phones.
You don't even know what they look like, Wiggy.
They never reveal themselves. You notice they never reveal themselves to a group of people?
Right.
It's only to one person.
One person. Who happened at that point in time, they don't have their cell phone on. Every other day, you know, 24 hours a day, they got their cell phone. The one time that they get probed and taken away, I got my phone.
Dan, firm believer, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was, and he's a pretty smart guy.
Yes.
So you can't say he's a wacko, but he said he had four separate encounters with space aliens.
Usually the smart ones are the wackiest ones.
The smart ones are wacky?
Yeah, usually they're the wackiest ones.
So good news for those of you who might be medical marijuana patients and you've been struggling to get some of your products. Even though the vape ban is still in effect, you may still be able to get some things when it comes to vaping. You won't be able to get oil-based cartridges, but you will be able to buy vaporizers for dry flower. So Massachusetts is at least granting a little bit of leeway for medical marijuana patients to get the medication that they need, which is good. We actually have some sound from a patient.
It's restricted me in the way I'm able to take my medicine and forced me to use other methods which aren't as convenient. If you vape a lot, you may go through a vape every other day, depending on how often you vape.
No, that's what I call a Manhattan, my medicine. Is that bad, Curtis?
Worked for me.
All right, well, that's good.
Yeah.
So does that mean people could keep their jobs? Like, can vape places, can they stay open?
I don't know that you're going to be able to stay, you know, to maintain business solely based on the sales of vaporizers just for dry flower.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see what happens. At least it's one step that they're taking. So that's effective today. $42,000 has been raised on GoFundMe for the man who slashed the baby Trump balloon at Saturday's University of Alabama versus LSU game in Tuscaloosa. Hoyt Hutchinson describes himself as a devout Fox News watcher, works for a tire company, and after he slashed the baby Trump in the diaper balloon, he was charged with felony. And $42,000 was raised on a GoFundMe page.
For a legal defense fund.
For a legal defense fund. Now, he announced initially that it would be taken down Monday because GoFundMe does not allow their platform to be used for criminal defense funding. However, a company rep reportedly told a website down there the campaign is active and Mr. Hutchinson is permitted to withdraw the funds.
Does he get to keep the money that he debt? Like, if he pays his lawyer $6,000 or $10,000 or something, does he get to keep the rest of it? Or
I guess so.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I just want to say thank you one more time to those of you who donated yesterday to the Greg Hill Foundation for the family of Ryan Baldera. You donated $10,898, and we will get that money to his wife and to his family immediately. So he's the guy who lost his life in the Buffalo Wild Wings last week, and just a horrible story. But very, very generous. Thank you so much, everybody who donated yesterday. Can't thank you enough, and we'll get a check to that family right away.
That's awesome. Yeah. Hate of eating vegetables could be genetic, if you can believe it. A lot of people are picky eaters. They don't like vegetables. They say that they hate all vegetables. But scientists have now found that it could be thanks to something called being a super taster. Super tasters are extremely sensitive to bitterness, which is a common characteristic of a lot of dark green leafy vegetables like broccoli and whatnot. And they say that just because you don't like a few of these items, you may generalize that you don't like vegetables in general. They say people that have this bitter gene, that they're able to taste more sulfur flavor, are 2.6 times more likely to eat fewer vegetables than people do not have the gene.
What if you like vegetables only with cheese sauce? Like broccoli,
you're just masking the flavor.
Broccoli to me with cheese sauce is fantastic.
Yeah, or spinach artichoke dip.
Well, what about other vegetables that you might like? Maybe some people just don't like broccoli, you know, and they like, I don't know, cucumbers.
Well, you got a perfect excuse. I mean, now you can say it's genetic. Yeah. I don't want to eat my vegetables because it's genetic.
Blame your predecessors. It's genetic. Yeah. Oh. Remember that story about the woman with the $30,000 Hermes bag who was suing the country club in New Jersey because a waiter spilled wine on it?
Yes, I do. We talked about that on the show.
Yes.
We were wondering why somebody had a $30,000 handbag.
Why are you going to judge?
Yes.
Well, somebody got money right there. That's
right.
Right.
Or somebody's husband, third husband has money. Yeah.
Well, third husband.
At the country club who bought her the $30,000 Hermes bag.
Or somebody's dad, Curtis.
Oh.
Got money.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
Funding and everything.
I'll have to discuss those together.
Yeah. How much does Fitzy's man purse cost? That's at least $10,000.
Oh, no. He doesn't even get paid to work here, Ken. The country club is now suing the waiter, which I think is interesting because I would think that they would have some kind of insurance policy that would cover some accident like this.
Yeah.
But
you can't sue. Can you sue a waiter because a waiter spilled wine? I mean, that's like it seems like an on the job risk.
Yes.
I mean, it's not the waiter's fault.
They say the spokesperson for the country club said it actually has nothing to do with the waiter. They're not trying to collect money from the waiter. The only intent was to just have him take responsibility for it. But now it's escalated into this whole thing. The patron said that they just wanted to go after the country club and they were forced to include the server in the lawsuit because of his role in the incident. But now the country club is turning around and suing the waiter as well. So it's like this poor guy. Like,
what happened to just like paying the dry cleaning bill?
Right.
That's what places used to do.
Is, well, when it's a 30K. Your
item. Or replacing the item or something. Now it's a. I guess you can't.
The problem
I guess replacing a $30,000 Hermes bag is a little bit more expensive than normal.
Most Hermes bags are limited edition, wherein I would think that, despite the fact that the bag, this particular bag itself costs $30,000, they would likely place the valuation even higher because of the fact that you can't get it now. You
right, can't but I have a site now that has a Hermes bag for $140,000.
You know, the women love
their
bags.
That's one of the exotic skins, Curtis.
Yeah, they love their bags.
Himalayan crocodile Birkin.
Right, yeah.
Curtis, the women love their bags, man. But if you're going to a country club and you got a $30,000 bag, I think the country club probably is doing pretty good on the membership. So, you know, I don't think it would be a big deal for them to say, all right, we'll reimburse you to $30K for your bag.
Well, we got a bag snob in the room with us. I mean, you know, you guys don't know, but you know how much Danielle racked up when it came to her shopping expenses at one point in her life?
On 50K. I was very depressed.
Cards? Wow.
Whoa.
50,000.
How many items?
Buying bags. There was one item. No, it was like bags.
No, I
and
never
shoes.
Bought the bags myself. That was
somebody else bought them. Well, you know, as long as you're not spending.
I got a lot of guilt purchases. That's good.
It's not coming.
You do something wrong? Yeah. Handbags.
Bags and shoes.
It's not coming from your bank account. Right. It's coming from his or his daddy's.
Oh, that kimono bag from Louis Vuitton, they only shipped 100 up to the U.S.? I guess I want it.
What percentage of that was drunk shopping?
For me?
Yeah. Like half of it?
No, most. I drunk shop more now.
Yeah.
Like on Instagram, I fall into like the Instagram drunk shop. I'd be like, look at this dress from like this little place in China that's going to take 7 years to get here that probably is going to fall apart and look nothing like the picture. I'll buy that for $36.52 plus shipping. Sounds good.
Well, it's like $1 million problem in this country. The multi-million dollar problem is drunk shopping because of Amazon or whatever.
Drunk shopping and your kids having access to your Amazon Echo. Yeah, all of a sudden, packages are showing up in the door. Step and you're like, I didn't order anything. Your 3-year-old's like, yo, that's mine, mom. I'll take that.
I'm still waiting for a frame from Amazon that I ordered like 3 years ago.
Really?
It was like $18, but I figured, you know, when you're ordering stuff that's under $20, you're just probably not.
Are you gonna frame a picture of yourself from the snowball game?
No. I already have that picture up. I actually wanted to frame a jersey that I wore and put it up.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, it's a special jersey, and
you know, it's just the one I wore in the Super Bowl. Not real special, you know. I mean, you can get those anywhere.
Right. A photo with Ramiro.
You can get those anywhere. that an email I sent them. I wanted to frame it.
Oh God.
Here's a 617 text. It says, "Speaking of waiters, and based on Danielle's lead this morning, it is a shame that we live in an era where we have to put up a sign to remind parents how their kids should behave."
Yeah.
We haven't really covered further your lead this morning, but there's a restaurant.
An Arby's
in where?
In Minnesota, don't you know? Elk River.
In Minnesota that put up a sign.
The Vikings go there.
And the parents.
There's an Arby's on a party boat somewhere, I heard.
Get that railroad beef. Well, thank you to social media. Oh,
they were serving railroad beef on the Vikings cruise?
I don't know.
I don't eat Arby's roast beef, so.
No, but unless
they were serving Riley's.
Horsey
or,
sauce. I miss Riley's.
This is the story. They put up this sign, and parents are all butthurt about it.
Yes.
Because it says that they're not going to serve kids that basically are not well-behaved, right?
Correct.
What does the sign say?
The sign says that customers with children will be asked to have them, only well-behaved children who can keep their food on their trays and their bottoms on their seats are welcome. If you can't do this, you will be asked to leave. Thanks.
I like this place. I love this place.
I do not have one issue with this whatsoever.
Keep your jungle kids home.
How can you control this when you come in? Like, obviously, your kids could look behaved at one point in time, and then very quickly they're not. Well, that's not under your control.
How old's your daughter, Ken?
2.
Do you guys take her to restaurants?
Yes.
And if she's out of control, I mean, kids do this. They have like a crying fit or
meltdown.
What do you do? Do you take them out of the restaurant or do you sit there?
Well,
because
you can't just leave the restaurant like you're in the middle of the meal. The check's not there.
Why?
If the kid's going crazy, then like, you can get up and walk, but then you have to come back at some point.
That's all right. Make everybody else's experience. Let them enjoy their meal. No one wants to hear, you know, your jungle kid yelling and screaming because you
second jungle kid, because
you can't handle the kid, and it's and he or she is throwing their sippy cup and banging the table. I mean, it's one thing if you're at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, but if
but you're going to get shot,
it's an Arby's. God,
what even then?
What's
the shape, Paul? What the hell?
What is wrong with people asking parents to control their kids? This is the problem.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Greg, 100%.
And parents don't feel an obligation to do it anymore because they're selfish. Yes. So they want their night out, and they're not. Their kid can behave however they want their kid to behave because they're going to get their night out at Arby's or wherever.
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous, and I think that this restaurant is well within their rights to say, if you can't control your kid, then you all got to go. Mm-hmm. And if your kid can't sit in the seat, how about when the kids are running around the restaurant like,
whose kid is this?
Talking to other people or something.
Taking bread off your table.
I mean, you had kids. Did you not go through this? You know how hard it is to control a child at this age?
I didn't eat out. When my kids were little, we would try. And if it didn't work, we'd leave the place.
Right. And I ate out. And what I would do, I would be a good parent, take my kid and maybe take him outside or take her outside and try to get her to calm down. And I'd say, all right, well, you know, I'll just, you guys enjoy the meal. And me and my wife switched. I ate. Then she
I never switched. I just say, hey, listen.
Yeah, this is your job. I'm making the money.
I gotta finish my meal.
I don't ever wish any harm on kids.
No.
But there are times when kids are like running around and I'm like, just thinking to myself,
Tank,
you better get your kid because, you know, he's going to fall and crack his face on something. Like, you know, you go to football games and the kid's running up and down the stairs or something like that. And I don't ever wish harm on kids, but I'm like, just maybe he trips over his lace, you know, and the parent has to do something rather than sit there and just continue the conversation while the kid's stomping on, you know, the floor and we're trying to enjoy something.
Texter says it's the same thing with kids at the movies.
Oh, God, forget about it.
What?
You shouldn't be bringing kids to the movies.
It's a kid's film?
Well,
kids' film is different, but if you're going to like a loud action crazy or horror, like anything that's inappropriate for a kid and they're just like going bananas and you're doing nothing to, and I know there are kids that deal with environmental issues and some kids have behavioral problems and I completely get that, but it's
that's a cop out.
No, but it's true.
Environmental issues.
If they have environmental issues.
There are kids that do deal with that. However, you know, you do need to consider the venue.
You want to go take the kid to like Despicable Me or one of those kid, you know, that's fine.
Yeah. You three shouldn't even be discussing this. You don't have kids currently. You're out of the, Wiggy, never played the
game. I've had
kids.
And
you had somebody take care of your kids.
No. I took care of my wife and I took care of our kids ourselves. If there was a movie I wanted to go see and I knew it was a movie that, you know, The Avengers, for example, I wouldn't bring my 2-year-old there knowing that he or she's probably not going to sit there throughout the whole movie and bother other people.
They act like their precious little child is an adult because that's what they think. Well, so they think that their 7-year-old is an adult.
Right.
And so they're going to bring their 7-year-old to a nice restaurant and disturb everybody else who's not there with their kids.
Arby's. It's not a nice restaurant.
Arby's is a nice restaurant. For many, it is.
It's a quick-serve restaurant.
Yeah, but it's not like it's a McDonald's with a jungle gym in there.
Third jungle reference.
But it goes back to what Danielle said, is that these parents go, oh, well, my kid has an issue. She is ADHD, and she can't sit for a long period of time because the doctor diagnosed her with this. So when she doesn't get her
Wiggy's trying to serve a kid an Adderall burger. He's like, focus. It's like 5 milligrams for you, Junior. Eat it.
It's like he's allergic to the organic food that they're serving him. Man, stop lying. Learn how to take care of your damn kid. That's your problem, Ken. Learn how to take care of your kid.
But Ken, he's selfish. He wants to have his dinner out with his wife. And because he does. Yeah, you're right. Because he doesn't want, if his child is going to disturb everybody else, who cares? Right. They're having a nice
time. So parents with kids should not be allowed to eat out. That's your
edict? You can eat out. No,
you're selfish if you eat out.
If you could teach your kid to be polite and behave, then
it's
then
part of the process.
No, it's
called
not part
teaching.
Of the process.
You go, there
it's
are some growing
parenting.
Pains.
No, it's parenting. Stop raising your kid like a hyena and letting him do whatever.
Fourth jungle reference.
That's what I'm saying.
Also, you can't put your hands on your kid. So there's, I mean, you're at their control. It is
insane. You give him a little fresh one on the back of the bottom. That's a problem with these parents nowadays. Can't touch a kid. No, he acting up, fresh one on the bottom. That's why we have kids out there, Greg. That's why you can't go to a restaurant no more, because we heard Ken just say, well, you can't touch your kids. We heard Danielle say the kid has, what was it you called it?
Environmental issues.
Yeah, he has
environmental issues. Means he's using a plastic straw.
No, that's not what
Hello.
It means.
Hello, Chris. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Donkey.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. Yes. My wife and I went to a matinee screening to see Hannibal, and a couple behind us brought a newborn with them.
Oh,
what?
Surprised.
Come on.
Surprised the baby started crying.
Right. Yeah. Oh, of course. I mean, people bring newborns to restaurants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the newborn, you're
kids
not
like,
supposed
you're
to
not even supposed to expose them to the air yet. And she's like, can I have a Pinot Grigio?
I know. You're not supposed to have, like, the thing is, you know, the world didn't grant you the right to have a kid.
Right.
And then disregard
everybody else.
Like, the rest of the world. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry.
My kids,
yes, it did.
Greg,
yes,
my
it
kids
did.
Are teenagers, and I'm still aware of how they're behaving outside, right? Because, you know, if we're on an airplane, be careful pushing somebody's seat or, you know, if you're letting the table down or moving around, if that kind of, I'm still aware of these things because I am a good parent and I think about other people and I take other people
you
into
think
consider-
you put other people first.
Right. Well, I'm like,
this is
I'm
Paul.
Just saying.
Hello, Paul.
Hey, morning, you guys.
What's up, Paul?
Okay, so the point is, it doesn't matter whether you go into the Four Seasons or whether you go into an Applebee's or a Subway. I mean, the premise is the same. As a parent, you got to socialize the child. I am sick of walking into these places, and you got a four-year-old pulling the straws and the napkins out of the containers, right. And the parents looking at you like you're a deer in the headlights.
Well, like it's
ridiculous.
Cute. A lot of them, like their kid is running around the restaurant screaming and having conversations with other people,
right.
And they think it's the cutest thing in the world because it's their little genius.
I don't want your kid coming
genius.
Up to me. I don't
you
know.
What I mean?
Listen, I'm not going to pat your kid like a dog.
Hello, David.
Hey, Greg, how are you?
What's going on, David?
Well, I just wanted to give my perspective. I'm a clinical mental health counselor,
yes.
And I work with a lot of families. It is absolutely not unreasonable to request that a child behave in a restaurant and to put it out there in public. I think is actually you're doing a service because what was once common sense doesn't seem to be much these days. And I know it's kind of weird. And yeah, it's true. I mean, obviously to have to explain to people that, you know, it's not proper to have your child running around a restaurant. You get to a point where things just do become very ridiculous, you know, and parents really aren't doing a proper job with their kids nowadays, it seems, especially when it comes to acting in public, because they become very embarrassed, right?
Mm, yeah.
So they're not in a position where they want to correct their child because, God forbid, someone else sees that. And what is somebody going to think if you're correcting your child? Whereas, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, maybe it might have been a little bit different. You could correct your child and it wouldn't be so ridiculous. In fact, I'm sure when you were a kid, if a stranger corrected you, it wouldn't be so ridiculous.
No.
But that's not going to happen these days.
No, not now. Like you'd be
right.
Strung up.
Well,
if you did, if you, but yeah, I use parents, other parents, other adults.
In the neighborhood,
used to yell it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you were misbehaving in public, there'd be like five other adults who'd be like, knock it off.
Well, now it's all these woke parents. And it's, little Billy is just trying to find himself. So we got to make sure, let him express his emotions.
Yeah. No, this is Jackie from North Andover who's mad at me about something. Yes, Jackie, what?
Well, Greg, to be quite honest with you, I've listened to you for many years,
yes.
And it was a little shocking when Danielle brought up that kids have environmental illnesses or whatever, and you just mocked it.
Well, that was...
I mocked it.
That was... Well, no.
I laughed at it.
No, that was Greg.
Wiggy did. I did, too.
Environmental...
I mean, I don't know
what... Environmental allergies.
What is the issue... What is the issue that a child has that says they can't behave in public at a restaurant?
Right.
What's the issue?
I will tell you, Greg, there are many. There are many reasons why a child can't behave. One of them happens to be something called PANDAS, which is literally caused by a strep infection, which causes a child to have autoimmune encephalitis, which causes them to have problems with behavior, mood, they want to kill themselves, basically. These kids are very, very sick.
And so
some kids are very sick, and I agree with you that parents need to know their kids' limitations. And if their kids are ill and their kids aren't able to behave in a social situation like that, then maybe they shouldn't bring them. But there are a lot of children struggling with illnesses, and you, Greg, were lucky enough to have two very healthy kids. I, for example, have a disorder where I can't process toxins, and one out of four people in this country has that problem.
So listen.
And it's becoming more and more of a problem because there's more and more toxins we're being exposed to.
I understand that. So
this is affecting our children, and this, along with the current situation of parents not parenting, is also they're not taking their children to be evaluated, and doctors are not actually paying attention to these disorders. A lot of these kids have inflammation of the brain. You can't expect a child to behave if they're very ill. Some of these kids are.
So if a child is ill with this environmental...
allergies.
Environmental allergies. They cannot be expected... They cannot be expected to behave...
Exactly. How would you behave if your brain was under attack? So basically, your brain is on fire. On fire. So I suggest maybe you look up a video of something called pandas and you see how these children are. These parents are suffering. Their children are out of control. One day their kid's fine, the next day their kid's an absolute disaster and a mess and suicidal and can't control themselves.
Well, hasn't that...
There are a lot of sick people out there.
Haven't there been issues that have affected children for years?
Right.
It's not a new thing. And what do you think those parents used to do with those kids? They didn't take them out to restaurants.
Well, that's what I just said to you. I think people do need to know the limitations of their kids. The reason I called was because you went, ooh, kids have environmental issues.
Because the excuse was...
You're a 52-year-old man. You shouldn't be talking like that. Sound horrible. Because you're making fun of people who are ill.
I'm not making fun of anybody that's ill. Jackie.
You did.
No, it
you
was did. Used as an excuse. Danielle was saying, I get it. There are kids who have environmental. There are people who, parents who raise kids who have any kind of an illness or disability are the greatest parents in the world. You are 100% right that I was fortunate.
And a lot of these kids are undiagnosed, Greg. Undiagnosed.
Well, I don't. Okay. Do you have an issue with the original issue was the restaurant that said if your kids
but do you remember what I said to you? I said if your kid has issues and you should know that.
Right.
Every parent should know that, and I do agree with that. But the reason I called was because of your reaction to what Danielle said.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think the majority of the kids that are misbehaving in a restaurant have an issue, or do you think that the issue is the bad parenting?
Well, I'll tell you, I know that one out of four people has the genetic disorder I have, and that can really cause your problem. Right. So I think that there is a large percentage. I'm not saying all of them, but I'm saying some of these kids are ill. Greg, you're 52. You're my age. We grew up, right? My parents grew up eating healthy, natural foods, very few toxins. You and I grew up eating all kinds of crap. Breathing all kinds of chemicals. Everything that's in our lifetime that has been developed is chemicals.
Our parents grew up breathing asbestos.
Right. That sounds like a Jackie.
Jackie.
It sounds kind of like there are kids out there that are dealing with the things. But we know this because we live in a society where there are a lot of parents that look at every little thing and they say their kid has this. It's just some parents are lazy and they're bad parents. I know plenty of people like that.
But I don't think that a radio host should be mocking people that actually do have those issues.
But you're taking it out of context. There are parents out like there that need to be marked. If you're a bad parent and you're using environmental allergies as an excuse, then you should be marked.
Jackie, thank you.
All right, then.
Thank you for the call. Very enlightening information.
Yes, and I want to clarify what I was referring to when I mentioned environmental issues. It wasn't necessarily what Jackie was talking about. And I will 100% say that, yes, there are parents that are lazy that just don't want to control their kids. But there are factors to consider with things that affect kids based on the environment that they're in. Kids that have sensory processing disorders. Or it might be on the spectrum. And you have parents that do the best they can by their kid. And sometimes it's a trial and error process where they do say, okay, you know what? We're making progress. I'm going to bring the kid here. And then it's a meltdown. And they're like, okay, we know we have to reframe this. And I think that you just have to consider that those situations do happen sometimes.
They've
and try
always
to be a little
happened.
I know that.
They've always happened.
But you can't.
And parents used to take the kid out and not inconvenience everybody. That's the point of it.
And then, and it's way, you, as your kid is 2 years old, right? And so it's how you raise a kid. So if you raise a kid with this mindset of, oh, maybe my kid has environmental allergies, by the time that kid gets to seven, he's not going to be able to control how he is because you allowed him or her to basically have these type of outbursts and that those type of things. That's what I feel like is wrong nowadays. It's like the whole gluten thing. Everybody points to this and they point to that and they point to this. What about all the people out there that raise their kids the right way that don't have these issues?
We just learned we had a massive gluten revolt in this country, and that was explained, you know, away as everybody's problem.
Right.
Turns out science has now proven that it's not.
Right.
Unless you're intolerant.
Unless you're celiac or intolerant. Yeah.
Meanwhile, everybody else is like, oh, I'm gluten-free. This restaurant has to be gluten-free. How dare you're not gluten-free? It's like, I get it. The horrible thing to deal with a child who has issues. But since the dawn of time, people have dealt with it. They're not dealing with it the same way. This is Jack. Yes, Jack.
Morning, sir. How are you?
What's up, Jack?
Listen, how can you expect these kids to behave? When you go to a Popeye's, people are getting stabbed, shot. 50-year-old girl's getting buffed off the ground. Come on, will you?
Well, that's because of the parents. That's the parents. That's why I told you there are too many trash buckets out there trying to raise these wild hellions. And by the time they get 15 or 16, they don't have – listen, they don't know about any rules.
Yeah.
So how do you expect them to act when, you know, the parents at home don't know how to act?
You guys are unbelievable. I spent 30 minutes in the parking lot at the Natick Mall yesterday because my daughter wouldn't get in the car seat. And I couldn't force her in the car seat. We waited there. She held me hostage. You don't understand how hard it is. And I have a kid who is, thank God, healthy and, like, somewhat, you know, no issues that I can determine. But I'm trying my best. It is impossible with these things.
You might have to. How old's your kid?
Two.
You know, you give them a little fresh one on the butt, and then they know that...
He's advocating for corporal punishment.
No. But we need to bring some of that back. No. Because now the kid knows, oh, if I don't get the gossip, then I'm going to get another fresh one.
Yeah. Hello, Greg.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm 63 years old. My brain's been on fire since I was born. I was so hyperactive, I was maxed out on Ritalin until I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
My parents had to take me everywhere because they couldn't get a babysitter for me because I would terrorize them. But I knew that when I walked into a theater or a restaurant, it got zipped. I sat on my hands, or I'd lose my bike for a week. I'd lose my TV for a week. You know, you can't reprimand these kids today. They got 20 feet of bubble wrap around them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because everybody has some type of issue.
Yeah.
Right. Every parent thinks that, no, you just got to be strict with your kid. You got to do things that, hey, listen, You might have to give them a little bit something here and there, but you got to be strict with these kids. That's why we have this society with these kids. They're reckless out there, man.
This is Scott from Maine. What's up, Scott?
Wiggy, thank you for bringing these people back in and bringing them back in, Wiggy. They're off the rails. We live in a society today where you cannot scold your kids in public because everybody thinks they can parent your kids. I was in I had an experience one day where my son was losing his mind. He's a toddler. And somebody looked at me because I raised my voice a little bit in public. And they started to try to correct me. And I said, do you want to raise him? And they looked the other way. And it's like, mind your business. Unless I'm hurting the child, let me parent my child. We live in a society where we can't spank him. We can't do anything because somebody's going to call somebody. You're right. I'm not saying beat the kid in corporal punishment like Greg was joking earlier. But there's nothing wrong with putting a fresh one on him once in a while. I was at dinner last night with my wife in a kind of a nice restaurant. There was only probably two or three other guests, and our son had a long day. He was off. He was high energy. It was probably 6:30, 7 o'clock. He didn't want to listen. It was no to everything. I had maybe 10 bites of dinner, and I said, let's go. You just got to know when to say enough is enough and leave take him out of the situation.
You can't be selfish about it. You decided to have a kid. You got to give up some of the normal activities that people who don't have kids get to have. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Stephanie?
Not much. I'm just driving, but I was listening and I wanted to comment. And I'm going to piggyback on what you just said, because when my kids were about 18 months old to two, if they acted up in a restaurant, one of either my husband or I would take them to the car and let the other one finish.
Yeah.
And within two times of doing that and them screaming at us that they wanted to be in there, and I said, well, you should have behaved, and now you're sitting in the car with me, they learned by the age of two how to eat in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And I blame the parent. And let me tell you, if some kid did something disgusting or, like I was at a buffet where a kid started picking food off with his hands and wanted to put it back. And I scolded him. And my husband said, what would you have done if his parents walked up? And I said, I would have told them off for letting a kid too young
right. come up. Good for you, Stephanie. Yeah, good yeah. for you. Because that's right. what parents would be like. They'll go the Ken approach. Well, what am I supposed to do? He's just a kid. Let him play with the food. Well, he was just digging in his nose and his butt. Now I got to eat it.
All right. We got to take a break, but we'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.